right, so today we have Tom Smoker, technical founder of whyhow.ai. So Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
I guess let's open with one of the hot topics of the year, which is GraphRag, which I will loosely describe. I don't know how you feel about this. I'm kind of loosey-goosey about this, but basically it's RAG with a graph or knowledge graph component. So however you want to add the knowledge graph in, as part of the retrieval process, at least in my definition, you're allowed to add it in however way you want, right? Because there's different design patterns. In fact, I wrote a post with a friend where we tried to read and watch videos and we came up with a few of these design patterns, but there's no consensus. So with that said, do you have a much more strict definition of what GraphRag is?
Maybe less so. I think my definition changes based on context. I think you may be referring to the work you've done with Prashanth.
But I
know, and I very much like what they produce. In any semis writing, I'll read. When it comes to GraphRag, you're right. The RAG and a lot of what I spend my time doing is the R in RAG, right? How do you retrieve? And I think that in theory and sometimes in practice, the retrieval can be better if it comes from some sort of structured data, right? If you have a structured query language and you have structured data, you can retrieve more consistently, often more compressed, you know? Yes, for a definition, there is no definition of knowledge graph. During my PhD, it wasn't very easy to cite, but I think OnTotext does describe knowledge graphs quite well. I think if you have to lean on a definition, I'm a little bit partial to theirs. When it comes to GraphRag, I'm yet to find a definition. I just know you want to bring in structured data, you want to use something, and however you want to refer to it, just kind of meeting people where they are.
Yeah, in fact, I gave a talk recently where, you know, I talked a little bit about GraphRag, but I said, you know, at the end of the day, as you point out, Tom, the lesson for me is structure. So if you have structure, so sometimes the structure is a SQL database. So sometimes you can infuse the RAG query with a query from a SQL database. That's fine, right? Sometimes maybe you have structure, but it's short of a natural graph, right? So maybe it's just some metadata or whatever, right? But if you have a knowledge graph, obviously great. But don't lose hope if you're struggling to do what you believe is GraphRag because you can't get to a knowledge graph, right?
Not at all. A definition I do like of a knowledge graph, which isn't necessarily published, but it was one of my PhD supervisors, Tim French, talks about a knowledge graph is a knowledge base and then a list of axioms, right? And that's a very philosophical definition. List of axioms like rules and reasoning, obviously relevant. But when it comes to the knowledge base, a fundamental knowledge base for knowledge graphs is just a set of triples. It's just a word connected to another word through a third word. And again, these could be series of words or strings. So if you have that knowledge base, you have compressed structured data, right? Now, if you want to visualize that as a network and run graph algorithms on it, you can. But fundamentally, the benefit is even just a .txt file with a list of triples, right? But the value is in that you've extracted and consistently defined those triples. So not necessarily having that is okay, but any attempt to get yourself from I have a lot of unstructured data to I have a list of slightly more structured data is valuable when it comes to retrieval, both from how specifically you can refer to it and then also how compressed it is. So yeah, fear not if you don't have a fully structured graph like the Pinterest or the LinkedIn team do. The value is in structuring the data how it matters to your use case.
What are your favorite examples of actual GraphRag in production being used?
For a case that I like that's new and maybe a different application, it was a veterinary radiology example, which I think is bizarre, but it was very niche, very specific data that needed to be retrieved. And it just controlled the edges of the hallucination for a radiologist. And I like how specific that was. They kept asking questions to an LLM that will remain nameless, but is otherwise very well performant. And it kept, even though the radiologist specified it like they wanted to, it kept recommending conditions applicable to Labradors, not Bulldogs. And they could not convince it that the Bulldog was what they were working with. So GraphRag in this instance was a very useful way to say, look, all I care about is Bulldogs right now. You know, I can't prompt myself out of this. So I'm just going to make sure that you know that I'm in the context of Bulldogs. And I did like working on that because I thought that was quite a bit of a bizarre use case, but it was interesting.
And in that case, Tom, the underlying data, was it primarily text?
Yeah, primarily text. In fact, it was processed academic journals and then textbooks. So yeah, almost exclusively text. Mostly because the radiologist's job is to analyze the image and then describe, you know, what that image is. And fascinating, in veterinary radiology, animals don't sit still. So it's difficult to build up a consistent data set that you can train on. So the radiologist still needs to apply their existing knowledge. And they'll be like, oh, I know that there's this condition, but I can't quite remember. I would like an assistant that immediately retrieves for this case. And so they can set context as they work and then speed up their workflows.
What are some of the key bottlenecks? I guess one thing that jumps out right away is, how do I get a knowledge graph?
Well, the biggest question is, do you need a graph in the first place, right? Like, it's not like you go from unstructured data to graph. There's a full spectrum of how you can structure, how much structure you need. Are you ontologically aligned? How hierarchically consistent are you? There's a lot of questions. And to be honest, most people, it's in their best interest to stop before they reach that end goal, because they have, you know, managed to get the majority of the value out of that before there's diminishing return. So,
Is it fair to say, Tom, that you talk to a lot of people who've already tried RAG?
Yes.
And they're trying to take it to the next level, so to speak.
Absolutely. In fact, I would say for some people who come to us brand new and are like, we've heard of AI, we would like to do graph RAG. Often it's encouraged to be like, look, you have a data science team, you have existing ML systems. You should try vector RAG first. If it works for your use case, then that's a great solution for you, right? It's so accessible, trivially in terms of cost to just embed and retrieve with the systems that we have. So if that doesn't work for you, then there's a lot of value that structuring your data can provide, all the way up to a large scale, graph for analytics, right? Like, that's really that when you get to that point. But yeah, if someone comes to us brand new, it's like, look, you should try vector RAG and see which of your use cases this works with and why.
So when does vector RAG work for someone?
It's a good point.
So you have to have some tolerance for inaccuracy somehow, right?
Yeah, but so it would be if the chunks are really well structured, like if a lot of the work is done up front, right? So if you can...
It's expensive, but it does work.
Yeah, we put out an example of recursive retrieval on legal contracts, right? Where we were able to find, and this example is public, but you can, specifically mentioned in the footer of a page, sorry for my accent, but in the footer of the page, there will be, by the way, if you read clause 6.2, make sure to also reference clause 7.5. So how do you navigate through that in the way that a human would? A lot of that work was upfront in terms of, how do we extract and then label and then navigate through that structured information? We used a service called Reducto for that, which is a great startup. But at that point, you get a lot of value out of VectorRAG because you've structured your information well. Legal contracts, academic papers especially, often have to follow a certain structure. So there's value in the extraction. If you're just naively splitting on chunks, then yes, like that's a difficult thing to get value out of. If you spent time making sure you know what the chunks are, where they're split and why, and they're well labeled, you use good metadata filtering, I think you can get a lot of value out of VectorRAG.
So for people who have already kind of squeezed as much as they can out of RAG, so in other words, by that I mean, they've run experiments, they've turned a bunch of knobs, and they've heard about this graph RAG concept. They don't have a knowledge graph. So what are some of your pointers for how to get started? What are some of the initial steps they can take?
Yeah, and I might link this to motivation as well, because like again, there's a non-trivial input amount of like to get to this point. A cell that I think people underestimate, but it is more and more relevant in an agentic world, is that the knowledge base I described before is often a compressed representation, right? And that compressed representation is less tokens, right? And less tokens means better rate limits and less cost when it comes to large scale applications. So for some people, they can be like, look, our solution already works, but doesn't scale. It's like, well, something like a graph can be useful for you, or at the very least structuring your data in such a way. So that would be a start. The second is like, I'm a non-technical person, but I'm a domain expert and I don't know why these things are happening. This system is a black box and I would like it to be explainable. And so to that point, it is okay. for it to be explainable, you need to understand what was used and why. And so then getting that information into a structured representation and then being able to trace back that structured representation, especially visually in a graph, can be very useful for people who aren't necessarily technical. So this comes down to structuring information. Now, as a first pass, when you say, you know, how to do this, it is extracting in a consistent way. For a lot of people, using something like a Pydantic or a JSON is actually a really good first step in terms of being like, this will be nested, hierarchical, structured, natural language. Now, there's a variety of ways to do this. The simplest way is prompt an LLM and ask it to extract for you, right? You can do NER if you want to. You can have systems, but it's like, start getting your data in more of a structured way.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the O'Reilly Podcast, Generative AI in the Real World. If you want to listen to the full version, please log in to the platform at O'Reilly.com.